So it is the second week of Advent now. This season of waiting, this season of preparing our hearts for the coming of the Lord. Traditionally, often this is the week of peace, the week of peace for the church, where we consider the one who came into this troubled, restless world, came amidst all of that still and was called the Prince of Peace, called the one who is to be for us the bringer of peace. Heaven is meeting the earth, and it all begins here, as we see in the scripture, with Mary, this ordinary girl, and her message from heaven. There is often this really a really serene and sentimental picture we have of Mary, perfect, innocent Mary at Christmas. It's about the closest thing you could come up with to represent peace for us. Mary is it. So it doesn't seem a stretch here today, really, on this week of peace, considering Mary, the mother of Christ. Though if you look a little past the sentimental picture we have of Mary, really, it gets a little complicated really quickly for her, though there is certainly a lesson to be had for us in her story. Often, Protestant Christians, as opposed to Catholic, will kind of tend to steer a bit clear of Mary, maybe except at Christmas, trying to lean away from the teachings of Mary's perfection, her extraordinary nature, how she's unlike other Christians. Though in our Christian teaching, by contrast, the extraordinary thing about Mary, it's really in her ordinariness. She is this ordinary young girl living in the real and often troubling, challenging world we too live in, engaged to be married to the man Joseph when this angel comes, and she is greatly troubled, the scripture says. She's greatly troubled when she's called upon here in this story. Her life is about to be totally, radically rearranged. She is this model of peace for us. But first here, she is greatly troubled. There's a story about a father who was home with the children one afternoon while his wife was out Christmas shopping. And he was reclining on the couch when the kids came into the room and said, "Dad, we have a play to put on. Do you want to see it?" And he really didn't want to, of course. But you know, fatherly responsibilities and all. And so he sat up and came out of his slumber and became the one-man audience. And his four children, 6, 8, 10 years old, were the actors, Mary, Joseph, and the wise men. And Joseph came in with a mop handle, and Mary came in with a pillowcase under her pajamas. And another child was an angel and flapping her wings. Arms as wings, and finally the last child, 8-year-old, came out with all of the jewelry on that she could find in the house. Her arms filled with three presents, and she said, "I am all three wise men," she said. "And I bring," she said, "I bring three precious gifts," she said. "I bring gold, circumstance, and mud." Gold, circumstance, and mud. And impressively, the father did not laugh. The father didn't correct the wise man. But instead, he reflected on how near the truth it really was that somehow got to the heart of the Christmas story. God meets us in this world as it is, loves us as we are, wherever we are, in our gold, when we are at our best, in our circumstances, where we might be even now, even in our mud, even in the world's deepest of troubles, darkest of struggles, God meets us here where we are, as we are. And amazingly, God chose this ordinary human being, Mary, to be a part of what God was doing in the world, to be the way, the vessel through which the Son of God would be born into this troubling world. There's nothing that says in the scriptures, nothing that says anything about Mary being especially faithful or about Mary being especially spiritually superior. Mary is chosen not because of some peaceful way about her or some sort of special grace or quality that she has. On the contrary, first, Mary is greatly troubled. First, she is so very ordinary. She is like us, who often through our worries, through our fears, long for a peace in our lives and all around us that only God can bring. And God can take all that we have, all of our gold, our best, our circumstances, our muddiest of realities. God can do something miraculous with us. Mary first, she's greatly troubled, her life to be entirely upended, but in an answer to her troubling fears and her doubts, she is reassured by God's messenger in this story. This angel comes to her, she says, and promises her, there is a promise for her. The angel says that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so she answers. She answers bravely, stepping into obedience, stepping into the will of God and down a road now that would indeed bring her trouble again. But it's the only road, the only way that this gift of grace, this gift of peace would come into her world, into our world alike. But Mary is now not troubled only. Mary now is blessed. She's blessed in the presence of God as she humbly agrees to be a part of the amazing thing that God is doing in her world, in our world. Here am I, she says. Here am I, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. There were two artists who were commissioned to put painting together for their idea of peace. And a panel of judges would determine which artist had captured the idea and win the prize. And after they had been painting for a long time, that the judges assembled to view their work. And the first artist unveiled his painting, and there was this beautiful pastoral scene with a farmer coming in after a hard day in the fields, his wife there cooking, his children playing around the fireplace, and all was at peace in this tranquil and beautiful farm. And that's it, the judges said. That's it. But we'll look at the other anyway. And they removed the veil of the second painting, and instead of this tranquil pastoral scene, there was this raging waterfall, these roaring waters that were painted on the painting. But then over on the side of the waterfall, there was this tiny branch of a tree growing out of a rock, and on the end of the branch was this bird's nest, a mother bird and her babies nesting peacefully out in the midst of this turbulence all around them. And the judges thought for a moment, then said, this is really true peace, peace in the midst of trouble. And there is a peace. There is a peace that God can bring. There is a spirit that can come upon even us, imperfect, troubled as we are, a power that can uphold us, even through times of trouble. Mary's courage, her choice to say yes to God's call, it opened her up to a life totally changed now by God's grace and spirit dwelling within her. She is made full of grace and peace. She is blessed now in the presence of God because she is chosen, because she then steps obediently into the will of God. As we see with Mary's story, God can do a lot with just a little yes. God can do a lot with a little yes. And when we say yes to God, as difficult as challenging as it sometimes may be, when we say yes to God, we also say yes to the God who comes with it. We say yes to the one who walks with us in all things. We say yes to the Holy Spirit, to God's blessings. We say yes to the power of the Most High upon us. Barbara Brown Taylor says that there is a choice for Mary, whether to take hold of the unknown life that the angel held out for her, or whether to defend herself against it, however she could. And we have a similar choice in our lives, Taylor says, to say yes, to say no. Yes, I will live this life that is being held out to me, or no, I will not. Yes, I will explore this unexpected turn of events, or no, I'll not. You can say no to your life, to the calling of God along the way, but as Taylor says, then you can rest assured that no angels will be troubling you ever again. There's an old ancient legend that says that maybe Mary wasn't really the first person to be asked to be the mother of Christ, but rather maybe she was the first person to say yes. She said yes to God's will, to God dwelling within her, yes to a changed life. And this then poses the question to us too. How will we respond to God's calling in our lives? Mary responded, she responded, "Let it be with me according to your word." But what about me? What about you? There's a song that I heard this week that I'd like to close us with about this great calling upon Mary's life to say yes to this life-changing, world-changing thing that she was being called to be a part of. But more than that, it is also encouragement for us, just the same, I think, to step faithfully like her into the calling of God in our lives, to say yes to the life that God has for us and to all that God can do in the world through us. God can do a lot with just a little yes.
Breaking of a mirror, but say yes. We'll arrive when you're little and you're scared. Will they claim to the things you never shared? And though your heart and your soul are unprepared, say yes. And it may tear you from home and family, but say yes. It may demand you become a refugee, but say yes. When you're cold and you're hungry and you're poor, when you're in pain in a room without a door, and when the angel returns and asks for more, say yes. Hail full of grace, the Lord is with you. Worlds without end depend on you. Blessed is the one whom you bring forth, no one else can bring. When the legions of angels call you blessed, say yes. Were you faithful in each and every test? Say yes. When they ask you in story and in song, were you upheld and protected all along? And did the power of the Spirit keep you strong? Say yes.